Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kiwi Industries Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Jain Thunia from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you. My name is Nupur Jain Thunia from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kiwi Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you for all participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2025. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such results are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like you to introduce you to the management participating with us in the conference call. We have with us Mr. Manish Giri, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, Mr. Jayesh Hirani, VP Finance and Accounts, and Mr. Suresh Gundalia, Company Secretary. I would now request Mr. Manish Giri to give us his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2025. I hope you are all keeping safe and well. To start, I'll provide an overview of the financial performance for the second quarter of FY25, followed by the operational highlights. On a standalone basis, revenue from operations during the quarter under review was 146 crores, a 4% decline year on year, with an EBITDA loss of 3 crores and net loss of 21 crores. The total revenue for quarter 2 FY25 decreased due to a decline in dye intermediate sales, resulting from reduced demand and lower price realizations in dye segment. Operational expenses saw a 4.6% increase in power cost this quarter. Other manufacturing expenses were in line with the previous quarter, mainly due to close monitoring, while higher freight and legal costs contributed to the negative EBITDA this quarter compared to the previous one. Please note that the legal costs in this quarter continue to occur at a higher level. For the first half of FY25, standalone revenue from operations were 313 crore, representing 7% year-on-year growth, while an EBITDA profit of 11 crore and net loss of 23 crores post-depreciation. On a consolidated basis, revenue from operations for the quarter under review was 272 crores, representing an 18% increase year-on-year, with EBITDA 22 crores and net loss of 13 crores before the share of profit of associates, before consolidating Dystar. For half one, FY25, consolidated revenue reached 537 crores, growing 17% year-on-year, with an EBITDA of 40 crores and net loss of 15 crores before share of profits of associates. Operational expenses increased by 8%, mainly due to very high legal costs associated with litigations against Sandoz International Capital in Singapore courts. Other income included interest earnings from other joint ventures, Longshan Kiri Chemical Industries Limited. Regarding the Dystar case, Kiri had filed an appeal against SICC order dated May 20, 2024, which did not award interest on the buyout amount to Kiri. Sandha also filed an appeal regarding the awarding of priority payment to Kiri from the proceeds of sale of Dystar. The appeal hearing at the Court of Appeal was concluded on November 12, 2024, and the judgment was reserved. Furthermore, Sandha International Capital has agreed to pay legal costs and disbursement owed to Kiri along with interest in SIC4 and related appeals, including the principal amount and applicable interest at 5.33% per annum until the payment is made. Sandha has already given irrevocable instructions for this cost to be paid directly to Kiri from Sandha's share of and block sale proceeds from Kiri and Sandha shareholding in Dystar Global Holdings Limited. The en bloc sale process is being conducted by Matthew Chodbaker, Lim Yuk Hun, and Tan Wai Cheong of Deloitte and Church LLP, who have been appointed as a joint receiver, and the process is proceeding according to the schedule and the timeline provided by the receiver to the court. With that, we can now begin the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Suresh from Purism Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Manish sir. Suresh from Nellore, sir, Andhra Pradesh.
Yes, Suresh.
How are you?
Yes, yes. We know you well. Please go ahead.
Sir, en bloc sale or tenders inviting date or any details you can mention last time, conference call. Any update?
Yes. So the timeline has been now decided, presented, and committed, and the non-binding offers would be due on November 22nd, 2024, which is next week, and binding offers to acquire Dystar would be due by end of January. During this time, 2.5 months, the detailed due diligence of phase two would be conducted by prospective buyers. Already, there has been a lot of interest presented by the prospective bidders, and phase one due diligence is going to get completed by next week. And assuming that by January end, the binding bids are coming in, then February, March, we are expecting the sale purchase agreement to be executed and sale of Dystar to be concluded.
Thank you. Sir, after completed the agreement, you can receive the fund. How much time takes, sir?
I think the execution of agreement and tendering our shares or giving our shares to a new buyer will happen simultaneously. So shares would get exchanged with the payment against the share. So I don't think it will take more than 2 to 4 weeks. So we are highly hopeful that before the end of this financial year, which is 31st March 2025, we can expect the inward funds from sales proceeds.
Next you can buy back any shares in the open market, or only preferential issue, you can increase the stake. Any open market
preferential the preferential issue has already been made, which you know, the announcements have been made. Warrants have been issued by the promoters, and there is no plan currently to buy anything from the second market by the promoters, because promoters do not have that much of room. Promoters doesn't have more than 5% ability to purchase in secondary market. So no, it's not possible also legally. Thank you.
Okay. Any mutual funds buying happen in the Giri industry?
I think several funds, what we have seen, and you would also be able to see from the from the list of shareholders, that we see the new funds, new FPIs are coming in. So we see the participation increasing currently.
Sir, another question. Actually, you can propose the new copper plant and fertilizer plant. You can, environmental clearance is coming, sir. Copper plant is clear.
It's clear.
In future projects, copper plant is clear the environmental clearance.
Yes, completed. Clear.
Completed. It will start company further updates.
Yeah, the implementation of project will start very soon, and next quarter or a quarter after onwards, when we are in the process of building the plant, erecting factories, and executing the project, we will definitely keep you updated on our quarterly announcements. We'll definitely do so. If there is any significant event in between, also we'll be pleased to announce. But the company is already in the process of implementing the project, and the required steps, actions have already been taken to start that new plant as soon as possible, at the earliest in 2026. For the first phase.
Actually, now November 22nd is en bloc sale update. You can inform the exchanges, please.
We will review the communication which we receive from the receiver, and based on the communication that we receive, we'll be pleased to do so. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for best of luck.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Yash from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, right. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to understand a couple of things, right? Especially with the preferential issue that you've done. I just wanted to understand for a conviction, just to understand your conviction on the company itself, what percentage of your net worth have you deployed through the preferential issue? Because it's a substantial amount of money, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so what percentage of your net worth have you deployed into the preferential issue? I'm trying to understand the conviction. I'm trying to understand your conviction on the company itself, because you've doubled your stake.
What we did is whatever personal assets which we had, besides our house, everything has been put into. We are doubled down, by investing everything which promoter had in the company.
But are these shares going to be pledged? Have you taken out bank loans to finance this? Because pledged shares...
No, there are no shares pledged. Let me clarify. There are no shares pledged of promoters. Nothing has been pledged. Okay?
Right.
And if you go, there are no shares pledged. There is a commitment given to the lenders for the new project by the promoters that they would not reduce the stake. Right? So the announcement which we have made is the commitment from promoters not to reduce the stake, and no pledge of any shares of promoters has taken place.
Right.
So that's
also
to clarify, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, $130 million has been raised in Singapore, out of which post expenses paid, $120 million is, as we speak now, would be invested into copper project, and we are already in the phase of executing that project since last 3 weeks, in fact, right? So we are investing and saving 1 year to start the new facility earlier. So for that, the borrowing was made by the Kiri subsidiary in Singapore, and that subsidiary has injected a permanent capital, FDI, into a copper project, which is Indonesia Copper Limited, right? So there is an equity infusion which has already been done by Kiri subsidiary to kickstart the new growth project that we have
conceived. So how have you raised that money? Is it a loan?
So that's the money which has been raised as an advance against the judgment order. So there are funds in Singapore which have done judgment funding to Kiri subsidy.
Wow.
And
so basically,
against the judgment order.
So if anyone's going to do a judgment funding, they're pretty sure that you're going to get the money, right? Is that the correct assumption?
Exactly. That's the correct assumption. So when they have done judgment funding, they have gone through the legal diligences. They came to the conclusion that it's only a matter of time and Kiri is going to get money very soon. So when they got this confidence, there were 4 funds in Singapore which were prepared to give judgment funding to Kiri, and we availed from 2 funds. And there was legal due diligence, the detailed due diligence conducted by these funds when they came to conclusion that the money is secure for Kiri.
Right. And also in your P&L, you're getting some sort of associate profits. Those are not cash profits, right? Those are just book entries, right? Can you clarify that?
No, these are the, as I mentioned earlier, the associate profits are only book entries. Kiri is not entitled to any profit of Dystar and any economic interest of Dystar, correct? So it's only because Kiri continue to hold shares of Dystar, you know, statutorily we are required to consolidate this associate profit, but there is no liquidity which relates to that.
Right. Last question. You've hired somebody from Birla, right? From Aditya Birla or Birla Corporation. I'm not sure. Can you throw some light on that? Like who you've hired? What is their background? When are we going to hear them on con calls? What is their role, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so, right. So we have hired Dr. Sanjay Sarkar, who is basically leading the copper project. He is the CEO and executive director of copper project. He has come along with key management team who have long experience in copper. And he was a chief operating officer of Birla Copper for more than 10 years. And then before he retired, he was a board member of Hindalco. So very long years in copper and very knowledgeable and expert in the field, which we have taken on board to execute, operate, and run this business sector for Kiri.
Right. I definitely have more questions. I'm just going to come back in the queue out of respect for the other participants. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun from Grow Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to check, you have taken the warrants and diluting the existing shareholders. Will this also trigger the open offer?
No, it doesn't trigger the open offer.
Because the stake will go beyond 5%, will increase beyond 5%.
No, the warrants are convertible over a period of 18 months, which covers 3 financial years.
Okay, so you probably structure in such a way that it doesn't trigger the open offer.
So it doesn't trigger, and conversion will take place over a period of 18 months.
And any reason why you didn't give this opportunity to the existing shareholders, diluting the existing shareholders?
I think, you know, the existing shareholders' opportunity would be entitled for the rights issue. And Kiri's board didn't feel it appropriate right now to have that much of capital required to do a right issue. But in future, if need arises, definitely would consider.
Yeah, because my only submission was, sir, that the company did not require capital because anyway it is expecting capital of $600 million. So there was no need to raise capital. Anyway, second question was, sir, what is, are we inclining towards strategic or a financial investor? That's part one. And second, you mentioned about the status of appeal. I think there was some disturbance. Can you repeat what is the status of the sender's appeal in the court?
Yes, sure. So the there was an appeal hearing took place on November 12, where one-day hearing took place with the same judges who have heard these cases in Court of Appeal earlier. Senda first argued on the priority payment to Kiri to overturn the priority payment, and Kiri made arguments for the interest, post-judgment interest, because post-judgment interest has not been awarded to Kiri, and we strongly believe that we deserve post-judgment interest at least. So there was a one-day argument in which we strongly believe that that the possibility of overturning the priority payment to Kiri are extremely less, while we are very hopeful that the court would do justice and award interest to Kiri post-judgment, post-March 2023. So when the outcome comes of this appeal in the next few months, we are expecting, based on the prior experience, that the judgment should be out by January beginning 2025. And if Kiri is awarded interest, that would be overturning the SICC's decision not to award interest to Kiri. And depending on what interest rate court is deciding, it may add somewhere between $60 million to $100 million on the current award. So all court trials have been completed now. All court appearances for Kiri have been concluded. And no more court submissions would be required now.
Got it. And any inclination towards strategic or a financial investor? A PE kind of a guy?
You mean for the new project?
No, for the bidding, which Deloitte.
For the bidding, there are multiple, you know, participants. A huge number of interest came for the expression of interest. You know, the numbers went above 70, right? And now when the non-binding bid ends next week, I think the participants are going to be, based on my own opinion, at least more than 20 to go to the next round of detailed due diligence. The interest is very high. Dystar has now, by end of September, piled up to $607 million cash, and it has touched $1 billion of net current assets. Looking at this financial strength, looks like there are many financial private equity investors have jumped in.
That's wonderful to hear. And lastly, what is the status of the Dystar financials this year? How has the P&L been behaving?
I think if you look at the first 9 months, you know, $90 million is the beta. And at the same run rate when the year ends in December, it can touch to about $120 million of beta this year. And this is post they're taking out management fees. You know, post they're extracting related party transactions and post all kinds of fees that they expect out. So it is post that the reported numbers could touch close to 120.
Sure. Thank you, sir, and good luck for everything.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. So our first question regarding the borrowing that we have increased. So what was the interest cost for the borrowing?
The The interest cost is about 15% on the borrowing, which is back-ended, which would be paid back along with the interest from the sale proceeds of that.
Okay, so it would be concluded once we get the cash proceeds from Dystar.
Correct. There is no debt servicing required. There is no payment required. It gets concluded. So essentially, it is an advance against the judgment order.
Okay. And what is the planned capex for this financial year?
This financial year, we will see how much we are able to deploy out of total close to $120 million. But I assume that it would be at least half of that, $60 million we should be able to deploy before the end of the year.
Okay, so I am assuming that we have raised $120 million and we have to, we will pay back this once we get the amount. So the amount would be, we will receive the amount by March 2025. And we have at now planned to invest only $60 million. So my question is, why have we raised so much money, $120 million, as we have planned only $60 million as of now?
No. It is the $60 million we would be able to deploy, right? But whatever funds we have raised, $130 million, out of that $120 million would be deployed in the new project, you know, part this year, part next year, financial year, because, you know, we don't know at this time how much suppliers we would be paying advance, what kind of machinery we would be tying up, right? So, essentially, the funds have been kept to make sure that we don't have, at least for 1 year, you know, short of cash when we start the project. We don't want to start the project if something goes wrong and you are halfway hanging there, right? So we have secured the amount. We could have raised up to $200 million, right? But the first phase of the investment, where Kiri's equity requirement would be $91 million. So looking at that $91 million, because we have now ability to invest $120 million. And that would allow us to have our one product line operational by 2026.
Yeah. Okay. And what I understood that $90 million is the requirement for CAPEX. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. $91 million, correct.
Okay. So we raised $120 million and in addition to that, we have cash from warrants. So it is approximately 300 crore.
Yes. So, right. So if you look at now balance sheet of Kiri on the next quarter, as per the requirements, as per the warrants, all the debt of Kiri is paid off, right? So by close to 150 crore of debt which we had on the books, everything is going to go away next quarter results, all paid off, finished, right? So Kiri's would be completely clean balance sheet, debt-free balance sheet going forward. And not only that, with accumulated losses, you have seen that the working capital was stretched, and our quarterly newsletters also highlighted the crucial issue of working capital. So we have strengthened our working capital and funded another 100 crore plus only in the working capital. So that would help to improve the profits of the existing business also going forward. So please understand that there were certain loans which Kiri had raised earlier, and those loans need to be paid. That loan was raised to make to make payments to the Singapore lawyers. Now those loans were getting due by October this year, starting from October. So we had to raise this money to make sure that we don't default on any loan. That's number one. Number two, at the same time, to continue to have the better operations, working capital was required to be infused. And those are the preliminary objectives. And remaining funds is again going back to project as an equity. So those are the reasons because of which it was necessary to raise some funds domestically and also kickstart new projects. So both the objectives got solved with that and completed.
Okay, sir, that was helpful. And one last question, that how much of the legal fee reimbursement that we are going to receive from the NBlock sale?
So that is $8.5 million Singapore dollar, not US dollar, plus the interest. So interest has been running for more than 2 years. So I think it would be north of $10 million Singapore.
Okay, understood. Thank you, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manoj Bhura from Adinath Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Manishji.
Hey, good morning, Manojji. Good to see you here in
the quarter. Hey, your voice is not good. Your voice is good.
I am okay. All right. Thank you.
क्योंकि आप तो भी ड्राइवर हो.
Of course. Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vivek Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on finally ending this long court case. Wish you all the best for your new projects. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, I had a couple of just housekeeping questions. So for the warrants, half of 492 has already come in, and recently you have converted a little more. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And the rest will be converted over the next two financial years. Is that a correct answer?
Yes, correct. Correct.
Can you just give me a little more detail on what exactly this copper project is? Is it like getting ore, then melting?
For produce.
Can there be some contours of what exactly is
for it? To explain you briefly, the project is about producing 500,000 ton copper, right, in two phases. First phase to produce 200,000 ton, right, 2 lakh ton copper, and second is to produce 5 lakh ton copper, right? We would be able to feed both. We would be able to feed copper concentrate, which is produced from copper ore. So there is a smelter of 300,000 ton in 3 lakh ton capacity, and there is a scrap ingot and blister furnacing, blister processing furnace, and then refinery. So it would be a recycling line, production line, as well as a smelting production line. Totaling together is 500,000 ton. The entire premises is going to be completely internationally ESG compliant. So it will have a zero liquid discharge. Not a single drop of effluent will go out of these premises. And because of that, we are converting all the waste into various products. So fertilizers are produced as a byproduct. So fertilizers are planted along with the copper. And there would be some boards, with some blocks. So there are a number of byproducts which would be produced by this plant, which would be ultimately as a copper and fertilizer production facility near the power port.
And what is the total capex? I'm sorry, I missed it if you have already told. What is the total capex for this?
So the total capex in two phases, right, which would be reaching from the first phase and from the second phase together, would reach close to 8,000 crore. It would be funded both by equity from the as well as debt from the bank.
What debt equity ratio are you comfortable with? Just as a long term, just to understand the balance sheet.
Yeah, so
these are now a balance sheet play.
So the balance sheet would be approximately 1/3 equity and 2/3 of debt.
Okay, 1/3 equity and 2/3 of debt. And when is the production expected to start?
That 1/3 of equity will take away almost 50% of sales proceeds of that. Just to tell you the math for you.
Yeah, I understand that. And
This would be over a period of 2 years.
Thank you. All the best.
2 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant, as there are several members waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Aniket Gara, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Manishi. Hello, am I audible?
Please. Thank you. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Regarding the Dystar sale, is the sale proceeds capped at $600 million or we might get additional power?
It has been capped and crystallized at $604 million plus the legal cost. So as I just mentioned, the legal cost would be close to another $10 million, Singapore dollars, that 604 is the US dollars. And then if interest is awarded from the judgment for which the appeal just got concluded 2 days ago, then interest would be added to it, and interest would also come out of the sale proceeds on priority. So based on the judgments, these amounts are all crystallized and kept. So irrespective of what price Dystar is sold, it is going to get the fixed amount decided by the court.
Oh, thank you. And another question is regarding the copper plant. As you mentioned, it's basically the raw materials would be like from copper mines as well as scraps, right? For the copper plant?
Right. Correct. Both the feeding, copper scrap plus copper ore, copper concentrate.
Okay, and did the commercialization happen after approvals and all?
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
When will the commercialization of the plant happen?
In two phases. One phase in 2026 beginning, that's the target, and second phase 2027 beginning.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Prakash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question is regarding this, our new expansion, or sorry, like new project. So for the copper project, you mentioned 200,000 is the first phase. So what is the like capacity for the fertilizer and which fertilizer we are going to produce?
So there will be two fertilizers. Total capacity of fertilizer production would be about 1 million ton. And it would include DAP, diammonium phosphate, and NPK. These are the two products that we have considered to produce.
So, by 2026, what will be the, like, capex for this one, for the first phase? And in first phase, how much will be, like, you are saying 1 million, so 1 million is, taken together both fertilizer, right? And, like, then, again, the ratio of, 2:3,
right,
like, in phase one, phase two.
So total capex of 8,000 crore will be split into two. First phase would be 2,500 crore, and then the second phase would be 5,500 crore.
Okay, sir. So can you please give us some more detail on the status of the implementation? Like, for example, the appointment of consultant, or by which quarter we are going to place all the orders? What about, for example, this this land leveling and land also?
What we will do is we will be pleased to give quarterly updates to update you where we are. And we would try to disclose as much information as we can. But please be rest assured that all our team would be targeting seamlessly to achieve the numbers and to start commercial production, because the site is ready as we speak today. All the approvals are in place. For example, technology tie-ups are completed, technology agreements have been executed, memorandum of understanding for the raw material supplies have been executed, agreements with the port has been executed, a lot of things have been completed when we speak now. So the timing is such that once we enter into now implementation of the project, once the orders are placed, advances are released, we have then fixed timeline for each machinery, and we will definitely provide all the substantive information when the project
in the presentation. Yeah, so here the question is that, like, as of now, all the existing copper smelter companies have announced their expansion. I don't want to name here, but I'm sure, like, we all know it. So, like,
many are expanding because the demand supply gap in India is very high.
Yeah, so sir, my question is that, like, will there not be any epoxy of the, like, of the required raw material? Because, like, everybody will be jumping for the same pie. So how are you, like, just going how are you going to tie up your raw material, whether from import or, like, are you looking from import also? Or, like, it should not be the case that, like, we have built up a plant and then, like, this raw material is not available, or it's available but at a very high price. So like, the delta doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so these are the critical parts of business aspects. And we would definitely make sure that all these aspects are covered in the process when we are about to start our facility, raw material tie-ups with the mines, you know, agreements with them, right, tie-ups with other vendors, machinery contracts. So all would be tied up, and it would be done, the implementation would be done sophisticatedly through the project implementation process. And there would be one of the best people, technology provider, project executors, PMC companies, a lot of people will be involved in the process, right? So all the aspects which you are correctly mentioning now, I can give you assurance that every one of those would be taken care of. Number two, when you look at the India's demand and India's current production, we are at 1.5 million ton of consumption in India, while production is only 0.4 million ton. There are several plants, announced. Our facility, some expansion with existing people, one more project just started. When you put together, it would all be by 2027-28, 1.5 million ton, you'll be able to barely cover. By the time India's demand is expected to rise to almost 3 million tons, correct? Even at 2013, even after all the announced projects are operational, right, the way we have pledged the, the solar and renewable energy to reach to 450 gigawatts and the speed at which the electric vehicles are getting popular and converted in India, this number may exceed beyond 3 million tons. So there is still a room, and everyone is seeing this room, and that is why other players are also jumping in, because there is a demand-supply gap which is favoring not only one, but still multiple players to come in India, and which is good because you are replacing all the imports of billions of dollars which is happening into India even today. So there is an opportunity that everyone is trying to embark upon, right from so.
No, sir, like, my question was not regarding the sales part. My question was regarding the raw material part. Because when so much capacity is coming...
Raw material part is going to be the most challenging among all, right? So everyone is going to struggle. And here, because most of the current supplies are tied up with China, right? So not only us, every Indian, producer is going to struggle, and that is where the most challenging, requirement we will have to come across, right? You said very correctly, but we are confident that we would be able to tie up. More than half of the requirements are already, as we speak now, signed with MOUs, and offtake agreements are under drafting. So well before our facility starts, we want to ensure that the entire feedstock is tied up. But there is still more and more shortage from the supply side, you will be able to see when this melter start. I agree with you. Earlier we tie up, the better, particularly for us.
Yeah, this was my question. So, sir, here I have one humble submission, because now these, for considering the size of the balance sheet of Kiri and the magnitude of these two projects, these are by way like highly material like things the company is going to execute. So whenever any significant item is done, like for example any technology type is done or any MOU signed, please kindly ensure that the corporate announcement is done to the stock exchange, so that all the celebrate masses can be aware of that what's going on in the company.
Of course. We'll do so, and we'll definitely do so.
And my last one, sir.
Well taken.
Thank you, sir.
Every development, we will ensure that we update the shareholders.
Very good, sir. My last point is regarding 604.
Mr. Prakash, please fall back in the question queue for further questions. The next question is from the line of Shuyesh, an individual investor.
Hi, sir. Good morning. My question is regarding the existing dye intermediary position. How is the industry looking right now? You mentioned in the last few calls that we have seen a durable bottom being formed and things looking up. So has that trajectory picked up?
I think the demand side has improved a bit, right? But looking at last quarter and looking at the current situation also, you know, demand is improving slowly, not what we expected. There are a lot of external factors which influence dyes exports, and also depending on the textile producers and textile player situation in India, the recovery has been actually slow. What we have been trying to do is improve our product mix, so that even at a lower capacity utilization, so if you look at our capacity utilization across the plants today, less than 50% even today, right? So unfortunately, we are not seeing the influx of demand that can allow us to have adequate level of the capacity utilization, which is not happening yet, in fact, unfortunately. So that's where the subdued demand is still continuing for the dyes intermediate business.
Okay. And so my next question is regarding the copper plant. What kind of products are we going to make? And what is the ballpark EBITDA margin that you're looking and asset turns out of this, 2,500 crores of first phase capex that you're looking to do?
The products are various categories of copper, copper cathodes, copper rods, copper coils, copper tubes. So these are four or five categories of products that we'll be selling, the different products. Number two, if you look at these smelters all around, right, and the new technology which we are also going to implement now, it would generate somewhere in between 10% to 12% EBITDA. And at the first phase of 200,000 ton at the current price, you are looking at almost 16,000 crore of revenue.
Okay. So, got it. Understood. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello?
Yes, boy. Sorry, you got cut off last time. Yes, you were asking the next question. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think most of my questions have been answered through the previous callers. But I think one more thing that I really sort of want to understand is if there are any sort of regulatory changes with regard to copper, right, whether it's from the countries that we're importing if it's from the countries we're importing from and India's own regulations that might change. I don't think they will, but have you factored that in? Just want to understand.
Absolutely. We have factored in not only the local regulatory compliances. As I mentioned earlier, we want to build and we are in the process of building the best ESG profile. For example, the way we have planned over the next 2 to 3 years, things will spell out, would be to have one of the best globally acceptable ESG profile of this mantle. So that's why I think the entire premises would be non-polluting, zero liquid discharge. We are not putting a coal-based power plant. We will be transiting to the solar, right, to have any renewable energy. Ammonia, which we are using as a brown ammonia initially, it would be, again, a transition phase where it could be changed to green ammonia. So there is a game plan which will drive us to the highest level of compliances, not only locally, but whatever is the best practices globally, and that is what we have targeted.
Right. And
in case we end up targeting export markets, then these are quite essential factors which we'll have to incorporate it now onwards.
Right. One more thing I'd really like to understand is what percentage of your revenue, let's say post 3 to 4 years, is going to come from the copper vis-a-vis the fertilizer? Like, what is your target? Like, what part of your business is going to be copper? Hello?
I think the copper division, the copper subsidy is going to have the biggest numbers, right? At the full stabilization of both the phases, you are looking at close to $5.5 billion of revenue. So that amounts to, somewhere close to 50,000 crore of revenue. Now, these numbers look too big, but it takes 2 years compared to the size of the company currently. So then this project and the successful execution of this project will completely change the profile of the company as a whole. Right? And then the data generation would be multiple times higher than what the current line of business is generating. So you are essentially transforming the whole company to the new platform.
So, fertilizer via copper, is it okay to assume that copper is going to be 80% plus and fertilizer is going to be 20% or lower?
More than 80%.
Yeah, that's the number I wanted. Thank you so much for taking all my questions.
Fertilizer is just the byproduct to make sure that you convert all your waste to the usable products. That is the only purpose. Not to
Great.
Enter into the fertilizer manufacturing as a different segment. That's not what we are doing.
Please highlight that. When you say copper and fertilizer, right? It seems like you're trying to do two very, very different things. Okay. I would really request you to highlight. Because fertilizer is not
that sometimes misleads. That we are entering into two different things, something like that.
Exactly. So I would please request you to mention that you're doing copper and fertilizer is just the byproduct or whatever, however you can sort of mention it to the investors. That would be great.
Will do, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun from Grow Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for again giving me an opportunity. Just wanted to, submit that as a minority investor, we have been invested in the company and we were expecting this big inflow. But disappointed to see that there is no mention of any big dividend or a buyback at a much higher price that rewards the minority shareholder. And rather, the management has gone and ahead and committed big capital towards projects that are uncertain, that have a lot of riskiness, and there is no past experience. So there is a big disappointment on that front. Any comments you would like to make there?
I think, the company has not been able to grow for 10 years, right? Number one. Number two, when the company is changing drastically its business operations and diversifying heavily into a new sector, there has always been a risk involved, right? And we are taking all essential steps to mitigate to mitigate that risk. You are right, the risk is there. But if we succeed to overcome all these risk factors and we deliver and execute, you know, the business performance, what we have planned, then as a shareholder, if you are prepared to be in a long term, you will be rewarded immensely. Right? So let me put it this way. So when you see the company, you know, which is growing somewhere close to 40 times where it is today, right? And if you are prepared to wait through the journey, there would be a long-term view, and there would be a reward on the long-term view. Please remember, all shareholders have suffered, and I apologize and I'm sorry that the litigation continued 10 years. So we couldn't grow, we couldn't invest, we couldn't do certain things which we could have done in these 10 years. You know, but now the time has come where things can change and growth trajectory can start. Right?
Go ahead.
You know, understand. Yeah, please understand that the commitment of capital in equity as we speak now is about 50% of proceeds coming in, right? And proceeds will be coming in by March. So dividend, buyback, nothing is closed. So please be rest assured, you know, when the time comes, when the money comes, when we talk maybe the quarter ending March end, we would be speaking with a different, you know, with a different objective at that time. So all these options are free and open, please be rest assured, and communicate capital is almost half of the incoming capital, which still company has other. So there are, you know, there are possibilities to do other things. And we'll definitely look into what you just said, that, you know, the shareholders have been waiting for 10 years, and there is something that can be given, and that's very well taken.
Sure. Thank you, Manish, for that. I just want to reiterate that we have waited too long, 10 years, while the markets have risen,
yes,
but they
yes,
have not
yes,
been
yes.
rewarded. So this is the time for us
to be
rewarded. Please do consider in the board and do consider a buyback or a higher dividend amounts. Thank you for that.
We'll definitely. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ayush, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I have a couple of questions. So on the borrowing side, this 130 million facility that we have availed, who is the lender in this facility? Is it a litigation finance sort of fund, and what are the interest rates that we are bearing for this?
As I mentioned earlier, these are the, you know, this is the judgment funding, and the funds who do this kind of activity, they are based overseas out of India, based in Singapore. And it would cost back-ended IRR based almost 15% of the country.
So it would cost around 15%, you said?
Correct.
And that would be 15% on dollar or INR?
On dollar. Because the
okay.
It's all dollar linked. The reward is dollar linked, the investment, you know, the borrowing is dollar linked, it's all dollar related.
Okay. And on the planned expenditure cycle, are we using the same land facility that are already there in the company, or are we planning to buy a new land, or have we already purchased new land for the project that they are going to build?
We already purchased a substantial new land already, which is there with the company, and some more new land would also be purchased in future.
Okay, understood. So it will be very helpful if you can, you know, as a follow-up, if you can share a detailed presentation of what is the status of end use of funds, because if we are bearing such a huge interest amount,
we would just want to
be updated on that.
Definitely do so. Yeah, we'll do so. We'll share a brief presentation in that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
thanks to all of you for participating in today's conference call. All the best. We'll speak next quarter. And meanwhile, whatever is the significant development, we'll keep all the shareholders updated. Thank you so much. Thank you.
On behalf of Kiri Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.